It's my privilege to continue and conclude the series on living with no regrets this morning. So last week we started off talking about why it's important, not only important, but also possible to live life with no regrets. And I just want to do a quick review on that, because we saw from the Bible that it is possible. I think sometimes people think, is it really possible to live a life with no regrets after everything that they've done and after everything that they might have experienced in their past? But the Bible makes it clear that because of Jesus, we can live life with no regrets. And it's also not only possible, it's also important. Because in order to experience and live a glorious future that God has for us, it's so important to let go of the past. And last week we looked at the examples of Joseph and Paul too. And in order for Joseph to be fruitful and to be successful, he had to let go of the things that happened to him. And he had to forgive the people that hurt him and betrayed him in order for him to continue to be fruitful in life. But Joseph chose to forgive and he chose to keep a good attitude despite the things that happened to him. And when we looked at Paul, how he made many mistakes, how he persecuted the church, yet he chose to forgive himself because he knew God had forgiven him. And sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves, but we are not holier than God. So if God has forgiven us through the blood of Jesus, we can and should forgive ourselves too. And even after we've made many mistakes, we really can look to the future and choose to live life with no regrets. So it's so important that we follow the examples. And then the best thing you can do for your future is to let go of your past hurts and mistakes. You can't change your past, but you can change your future by not allowing your past to determine your future. So let go of the past. Don't let your past still have an influence on you. Let go of the hurts and the mistakes that happened in it, and then you can experience the future that God has for you. And then a key thought that we shared last week was to value the cross more than your loss. So whatever your loss might be, whether it's a loss you experienced because of your own doing or because of what someone else did to you, whatever that is, choose to value the cross more than your loss. And choose to value what Jesus did for you more than what people did against you or what you might have done to other people. So choose to value the cross more than your loss. But this morning's message I've entitled, God Makes It Good. So look at your neighbor and say, God makes it good. So God makes it good. And I am so excited about this morning because I think many times people think, well, I can let go of the past now and I can live life with no regrets because I'm going to let go of the past. But the good news is God can even restore the things that we might have lost. And he can redeem the things and he can bring good out of bad things that happened to us. And that's what I want to share on this morning. And I just want to start off again with Romans 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And in the original Greek, that last part isn't even found there. It just says, there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus, full stop. And I believe condemnation many times is at the root of all guilt and all regret and all the shame that we sometimes experienced and that we feel because of what happened. But the Bible says there is no condemnation for us now because we are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we can live life with no regrets. And then a while ago, I believe it was the 17th of November, and Pastor Steve was preaching. I was up at Grove Track and I came down. And I'm not really big on proclaiming things like this is the year of this or this is the year of breakthrough. And because I believe we can experience God's best any year and we can experience any promise that he has for us, because the Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. But as I came down, we started worshiping in the second service, and in my heart, I just felt like that 2020 was going to be a year of restoration, and where people in the body of Christ were going to experience a lot of God's restoration power. And you know, I thought I missed it because I thought this is a new decade that we're starting, and it's God's going to tell us that new things are going to happen and fresh things. But I felt too that many times, in order for him to do new and fresh things in and through us, he needs to restore things first. And God is a master at restoring things. And I want you to be expectant. And I really believe this year he's going to restore a lot of things in your life if you will allow him. Because God loves to restore things. It's so amazing in the Bible. God started with a restoration plan even before mankind sinned. In the book of Revelation, it says Jesus was the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. And the first prophecy of Jesus is found in Genesis 3:15. Where the Lord told the serpent, he told the serpent about the seed of a woman that will bruise him. So immediately after mankind's sin, that restoration plan kicked in. And God immediately had a redeeming plan. So God is a God of restoring things. He loves to restore things in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I really believe it's going to produce hope in you. And you're going to expect the good future that God has for you. And then in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." En die Afrikaans sê dit, en ons weet dat God alles ten goede laat saamwerk vir hulle wat hom liefhet, hulle wat geroep is volgens sy doel vir hulle lewe. Now, sometimes this scripture is very misunderstood, and sometimes people will use it to say that God controls everything and that everything that happens is his will, but that is not what this verse is communicating at all. But it is a wonderful promise, and it is one that we can stand on in our lives and that we should expect to happen in our lives. So this is not saying that everything that happens is from God or that everything that happens is good. It's just saying God can take anything and bring good out of it. Because many times we regret the things that happened and we think that was so bad, can we ever come something good out of it again? But the Bible says God can cause all things to work together for our good. It's important that we don't get confused about this and by thinking that God causes the bad things. He never does. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from him. He's the Father of lights and he never changes. But he does say he can take something that might be bad and bring good out of it. So even when we face something or even when we went through a storm, we can actually be expectant that God is going to bring good things out of it. Last week I shared a little bit of how in the beginning of last year, I thought of a season that I went through and I really became bitter as I thought of that season and I felt like I missed so many opportunities in that season that I might never have over. And as I thought of it, the Lord told me that I was focusing on the wrong thing. And he said, "You might have missed opportunities, but I can give you new opportunities. And I can even birth opportunities out of the things that you experienced." And God is so good at that. And this is a wonderful promise that we can stand on and always be in remembrance of in our lives. That even though not everything that happens to us is good, even though not everything that happens to us is from God, he can take anything and bring good out of it. God makes it good. Amen? And that's why we can live with no regrets. So one of the things that God loves to restore in our lives is lost years or lost time. Now, in our own strength and power, we can restore or redeem a lot of things, even after we've made a mess of it. But one thing we simply can't restore is lost time. But God can restore that in our lives. And in reality, he might not give you that time back again, but he can give you such a wonderful future that it will feel as if your past didn't even happen. God can restore things in your life. Because I think many times people think too, well, this is good. I can live with no regrets because I can let go of a past now and I can forgive others. I can forgive myself and I can really just let go. But things will never be as good as it were before. And that is a lie. God won't only make it good again. He can even make it better because he's a master at restoring and redeeming things. And I want to read the biblical definition of restoration to you. I wrote here the biblical meaning of the word restoration is to receive back more than has been lost to the point where the final state is greater than the original condition. The main point is that someone or something is improved beyond measure. So God is so good at restoring things in our lives and restoring lost time that he won't only make it good again, he will make it even better than what it was before the bad things happened in your life or before you felt like things were stolen from you. Or before you made mistakes. God can restore it to such a degree that it will be better than what the original state was in your life. God loves to restore. God loves to make it good. And that's another reason why we can live with no regrets. Praise God that we can let go of past hurts and mistakes. But praise God that we can also look to the future with great expectancy, knowing that he loves to restore, that he loves to redeem, and that he can even restore lost time in our lives. In Joel 2:25, it says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm." So I hope I said all of that right. But maybe you had a lot of worms in your life. Maybe worms started to eat at your marriage or your health, or maybe you lost time because of things that happened in other relationships, maybe in your finances, whatever it was, God can restore it. He can restore lost time. He can restore lost years. And therefore, we don't have to regret the time that we feel like we've lost, because God can restore it. He can make it good again. He promises here in His word that He will restore the lost years that were stolen from us. And whether things were stolen from you or whether you caused things to happen in your own life, whatever it is, I believe God is telling us this morning that His mercy is greater. And if we will allow Him and if we will look to Him, He can bring so much good out of it. And He can give it back to us. He can restore the time that we might have lost because of it. And in Job 42 verse 10, it says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So I'm not really going to go into the book of Job now, but I believe under the new covenant, we won't experience what Job experienced, because we have a covenant with God now, and Jesus paid for our sins and all of that. But even if you were to be like a Job, I will say praise God, because you are going to be twice as better off as you were before. Sometimes people focus so much on what happened to Job and they get confused, and I'm not going to explain all of that now, but let's focus on the last part too, how God restored things in his life. And the Bible says he had twice as much as he had before. So that is the biblical meaning of restoration taking place here now. How God not only brought good out of it, he made it even better than the original state. So God loves to restore. He loves to make things good in our lives. And if we will allow him, he will restore the lost time or the lost years that we've experienced in our lives. And then in Psalms 23, from verse 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And he restores my soul." God will even restore your soul, things that you might have experienced in your soul, or bondage that got into you or that came on you because of the things that you went through. He can restore your soul. See, Jesus can heal a broken heart. He's the only one that can truly do it. He's the only one that can truly heal your broken heart. And the Bible says here that he can restore your soul. He can restore the time that we've lost. He can restore the regret and the guilt and the shame that you might have experienced in your soul. And therefore, if you allow him to, you can really look to the future and let go of it and live life with no regrets and look to the future with great expectancy and even expect good things to come out of a bad that you might have experienced. In Jeremiah 30 verse 17, it says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord." So maybe you lost time because of health. Maybe your health was stolen from you, or maybe you went through seasons where you were sick or you experienced a lot of disease, but the Lord is saying, "I will restore health to you." And Jesus provided it, and we can expect it to be restored in our lives. But I love how it not only says that he will restore health to us, it also says he will heal us of our wounds. Many times we still carry wounds of what happened to us or because of the things we went through, and many times regret is a big wound that we carry. But Jesus is saying, "I will heal you of your wounds too. And you will have a great future, and I will restore the things that you've lost." And as he does, we really can be expectant about it and let go of what happened and live life with no regrets. Another thing that God loves to restore and redeem us from is our past mistakes. And whenever we talk about that, people will say, "Well, what about sowing and reaping?" And I believe that is a very valid point. And I believe even under the new covenant, even for us as believers, sowing and reaping will still apply. But in Galatians 6, where it talks about whatever you sow, you will reap, in Greek, it's actually saying whatever a man habitually sows, whatever he keeps on sowing is what he will keep on reaping. So if you continue to just sow and make bad choices and do the wrong things, then you are going to reap the wrong things too, and you are going to reap destruction. But whenever if we repent of it, we can be set free from it, and God can redeem us. So sowing and reaping still applies, but even after we've sowed a lot of bad seeds by making the wrong choices, by allowing bitterness to get in us, if we repent and let go of it, we can be redeemed from it. So God, even though sowing and reaping is a spiritual law, I believe, because the good news is we not only reap what we have sown, we also get to reap what Jesus has sown. For example, if you received healing this morning, or if you received Jesus this morning as your Savior, that is not something that you have sowed to. You get to reap where Jesus had sown. even going to heaven one day. We didn't do anything. We don't. It's not our right to go there one day. It's all a gift. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it because Jesus sowed into it for us, and we get to reap what Jesus had sown. So praise God. Sowing and reaping applies, but we can be redeemed from past mistakes. Because sometimes it is easier to believe God, to be redeemed from the things that happened to us and the things that we felt were stolen in our lives, than it is to believe Him to redeem us from our own past mistakes. But God is a master at doing that, and He loves to restore the things, even if we brought it onto ourselves. And in Jonah, verse 3, but before I read that, I want to just remind you of the story of Jonah this morning, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it. And the Lord had a very specific assignment for Jonah. And it was actually something that God wanted to do through him. And I believe God wanted to bring revival to a whole nation through Jonah. So God really wanted to do something special through Jonah. And the Bible says that God told him to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh was modern-day Iraq. But Jonah chose instead to go to Tarshish, which is modern-day Spain. And if you go and look on a map and you see where Israel is, where Jonah was, and you look where Iraq is, where God told him to go, and when you see where Spain is, you'll notice that Jonah went the complete opposite direction of what God told him to do. And then because of his own choice, the Bible says a big fish swallowed him, and he was in the belly of a fish. And then the Bible says after 3 days and three nights, he repented. Now you would think that someone would have enough sense to repent the first minute after being swallowed by a big fish, but praise God for his mercy. But after 3 days and three nights, Jonah chose to repent, and then the Bible says God delivered him, the big fish spat him out, and he was set free. But I'm sure Jonah was very tempted to think, well, I messed it up, I blew it. God had a very wonderful purpose for me. God wanted me to do something so special, and my whole nation was going to experience the goodness of God, and I just blew it. And this was willful disobedience. Sometimes people disobey God because they're not sure it's God, or they feel like it might be God, but they think it's just them, and then they don't do it because they're not sure. But Jonah knew it was God. This was willful disobedience. But then I love Jonah chapter 3. This was after he repented and after he was set free and spat out by the fish. The Bible says in Jonah 3 verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So God gave Jonah a second chance. And the amazing thing about it is that it was the exact same thing he told him the first time. So God didn't go to Jonah and said, listen, I gave you a chance. I might still use you now, but I'm not going to use you to the degree that I wanted to the first time because you messed it up or because you disobeyed me. After he repented, God gave him a second chance, and he wanted him to do the exact same thing than he wanted to the first time. And I used to tell people that God is a God of a second chance, but that is actually not true. God is the God of another chance. He'll always give you another chance if you go to him, if you truly repent, and if you ask him for another chance. Because his mercy is so much greater than our past mistakes. And if you feel like you've messed things up, or maybe you feel like this morning that, praise God that I can let go of the past now, but God might not use me to the degree that he wanted to, or things won't be as good again, that's a lie. God will give you another chance. And if you listen to him, you'll hear him say that he still wants to use you. He still has a wonderful destiny for you. Listen for his voice and just do what he says. In Hosea 13 verse 9, it says, O Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. So even if you feel like you have brought destruction upon yourself by making bad choices, by doing the wrong things, even if you willfully disobeyed God, God is saying here to Israel that they brought destruction on themselves, they destroyed themselves, but he reminded them, in me is your help. So even if you've done a lot of bad things and you brought all kinds of terrible things upon yourself, in God is your help. His mercy is greater than your past mistakes, and he wants to restore and redeem you from your past mistakes and the things that you might have done. And even when it comes to God's correction, I believe his correction is always to bring restoration. Even in the Bible too, where we read about church discipline and where Paul corrected people, it was always to bring restoration. So God never corrects us just because he wants to correct us and just because he's an angry father or he gets mad when we do the wrong things. It's always to bring restoration. Restoration is always at the very core of who God is. It's always close to his heart. And he's always eager to redeem us and to bring restoration into our lives. He loves to make it good. He loves to bring good things out of the bad things that happened to us, all the bad things that we caused. God makes it good, and he loves to restore. But this morning, I just want to give you three things too that will help you to experience more of God's restoration in your life. Because last week I spoke about Joseph too, and I said that sometimes people will say, well, a lot of bad things happened to Joseph, and he was maybe unlucky in a sense, but he was also lucky because God just worked everything together for good, and whatever happened, God just continued to elevate him and to promote him. But it was because Joseph tapped into God's restoration power. And I just want to give you three things this morning that will help you to experience more of God's restoration. And they're so simple, you'll need someone to help you to misunderstand them. But I believe as you apply it, it will really help you to tap into his restoration and to experience it this year. And the first one is just repentance. And in Acts 3 verse 19, and this was, this talked about unbelievers, but it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So as believers, we don't have to repent to get saved again after we've made a mistake. We are still saved, and we get righteous, we get saved because of what Jesus did for us, and we stay saved because of what Jesus did for us. So we don't have to repent to get saved again, but I do believe it still applies to us after we've made a mistake or after we've done the wrong thing. But what I want you to notice here is it says after people will repent, times of refreshing will come. We could interpret that as saying to restoration will come into your life as you repent. And this was written to unbelievers. They commanded them to repent to get saved. As believers, we don't repent to get saved. But even in the book of Revelation, Jesus had seven messages for seven different churches. And to a lot of them, he commanded them to repent. So repentance is something that we can do as believers too. And it simply means to have a change of mind with a corresponding action. To have a course to change the course direction in your life. And if you feel like you are heading for destruction, maybe you've made bad choices, but you haven't turned away from it, I want to encourage you to do that. Pastor Steve always says that when you make a firm choice in your heart, you activate the grace of God. You activate his empowerment. And many times that is what is required if we really want to experience his restoration. Because God is so eager for us to experience his redeeming power. He's so eager to make things good in our lives. But we need to repent if we've made a bad choice by turning away from it and by looking to Jesus and by starting to follow him now and by doing the right thing. And then the second thing is obedience. And obedience is to choose life, to listen to the Lord. And maybe you feel like you're a little bit in a pit this morning, or you still feel you are experiencing a lot of bondage. Go and listen for his voice. God has so much wisdom, and he wants to lead you out of that destruction into life. He wants you to experience his restoration power. And I want to encourage you to choose life this year. You know, Jonah learned through tribulation because he made a bad choice. And because of God's mercy, we can learn that way even after we've made a bad choice and even after we've experienced something because of that choice, because of a consequence. But it wasn't necessary for Jonah to go through that. It wasn't necessary for Jonah to be swallowed by a fish. So when we start to obey God, we can learn by revelation instead of tribulation. And sometimes it's so much better to learn by revelation instead of tribulation, the consequences that we sometimes experience for bad choices. Now, if you are still experiencing consequences because of things you did in the past, it's time to let go. And it's time to forgive yourself and to let go of that for good. But start to choose life too. Listen to the voice of the Lord and choose to obey him. He will always lead you into life. And as you do, you will experience his restoration power to a greater degree, I believe. And in John 16:13, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And the Greek word there for guide actually means a tour guide. So the Holy Spirit is like a tour guide in our lives. And maybe some of you have had bad experiences with tour guides when you toured a place. But the Holy Spirit is the best tour guide. And he will guide you into the very life that God has for you. He will guide you out of destruction into abundant life. All we need to do is to listen for his voice and to do what he says. Sometimes it might be a big step. Sometimes it might just be something small. But as you listen to him, I believe he even knows the shortcuts to get you to the life that God has for you after you've made a bad choice. So listen to the best tour guide that there is, and he will lead you into life, and you'll experience the very life that God has for you. The Holy Spirit knows how to get you to Healing Village, Prosperity City, and Peace Country. So listen to that tour guide. It's the best one you'll ever get. Amen? And then the last thing that will help you to experience God's restoration power in your life is trust. Sometimes we just need to trust God. Sometimes trust involves patience too. Sometimes, and I'm part of that generation, we want things now, and sometimes we don't even want it now, we want it yesterday. But sometimes it takes time, and sometimes we just need to allow God to work in our lives too, and to bring about His restoration power. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So don't trust in your own ability, don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to God, trust Him with all of your heart, and as you do, He'll get you out of destruction. He'll restore things in your life, and He'll cause you to experience His very best. So we truly can live life with no regrets because Jesus paid for our past mistakes. We can forgive others despite what they did to us. We can choose to value the cross more than our loss, and we can look to the future with great expectancy, knowing God is a master at restoring things. And 2 years ago, I preached in the very first Sunday of the year too, and I read this quote, and I believe it's so relevant for today's message too. It's by a man named Bob Yandian, and he said, "Some people say that a bird with a broken wing will never fly as high again. This may be true in nature, but it does not apply to the grace of God. The beauty and miracle of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is that even after you have made a mess of your life, if you repent and receive forgiveness, and if you embrace His word and commit yourself to the Spirit's leading, you can fly higher than you've ever flown before." So that is my encouragement to you this morning, to really expect to fly higher in 2020 than you've ever flown. No matter what happened in the past, no matter what you might still be experiencing in your life right now, look to the future with great expectancy. Choose in your heart today that you are going to let go of regret. You are going to live life with no regret. You are going to obey God. You're going to trust Him with all your heart. You're going to repent if that is needed. And as you do, I believe His restoration power will be so evident in your life. And as He starts to restore things in your life, as He starts to redeem things, you can truly fly higher in life than you've ever flown before. Amen.